I'd like you to turn with me to Luke, the first chapter. I love the real Christmas story. I really do. I love it with all my heart. How it all started. There is probably more truth in Luke chapters 1 and 2 and Matthew, those early chapters. There's probably more living truth. Of course, it's about Jesus, which is the truth, but there's more living truth in those verses than we could preach all year. And sometimes I get tempted to do that, praise God, on the Christmas story. It's more than just a babe in Bethlehem, thank God. It's about the everlasting Son of the living God. Amen. Actually, the answer to every craziness in this world is found here in the Christmas story, or the story of the birth of Christ. And the Word of God said in chapter 1 of Luke, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." From the best that I can understand about the interpretation of eyewitnesses and ministers, it's like an intern. It's like a young understudy studying to be a doctor. And so Luke says, "I was there when the great surgeon operated. I was there when the great forgiver forgave. I was there when devils were cast out. I was on location. I heard the words. I saw the results. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So we were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Church, I sometimes just feel like going back to Ned and the first grade reader as far as the gospel's concerned. If there's ever a time we need to get our stuff together and get back to basics and strengthen our spiritual foundations, I mean, there's so many people, there's a certain amount of people always running around trying to get some new revelation, and they've done nothing about the last 100 revelations God's given them. I believe in new insights, and I'm always studying and always learning. I believe always learning and hopefully growing. But there are things wherein we have been instructed. And what Calvary Cathedral is all about, from my standpoint, from the very beginning, is a church that's in balance, but let me qualify that, in radical balance. If it's true, we're going after it. Salvation is true, we go after it. Outreach is real, so we go after it. Healing is real, so we go after it. Amen. Living for God, giving to the Lord. Jesus said more about giving than he did any other truth in the Bible. I mean, some people act like giving is a strange doctrine. Well, it is for them, probably. But you know, really, Jesus said more about giving and gave us more insight. We need to stay with what we really do know and hold steady. Well, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. And I want to talk to you about Zacharias and Elizabeth today. He was of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Zacharias and Elizabeth. Two salt of the earth people. I've heard that since I was a child. I think I'm understanding that more and more every day. Just good basic folks. You know, some folks, God love them. Every moment's a drama, you know. And every conversation is just who got to them last, you know. It's just good to meet folks with both oars in the water, not one oar going in a circle and trying to convince me they have a new doctrine, you know. Well, anyway, moving right along here. Zacharias and Elizabeth, just salt of the earth people. Amen. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments. Now, that doesn't mean we're saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. But do you, let me ask you this question as I see it. Do you have a heart for the Word? If you know something is really the Word of God, do you have a heart for that? Do you want to hear that and believe that and do that, and you see value in doing what God says is important? That's what the Bible's all about. It's a book of what God says is important. And they had no child. Good people, spiritual people, godly people had their lives together, but they had no child. Because that Elizabeth was barren, and now the problem increases, they were both now well stricken in years. Got a problem here. It's going to be exciting to see how this works out. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. That was his primary job. Keep the fire burning. Wasn't that what the Old Testament said? The fire shall never go out. Upstairs in our international prayer ministry area, I saw it in the Caribbean, that very same type of instrument. I forget where we bought it. Mike Magnuson found it for us. And I was informed that because it was made in Japan, it probably won't last long. Well, we had to do one fire up on it, but I forget how many years that flame's been going up in the International Prayer Center. Because the Bible said the fire shall never go out. And you, I don't have time to preach that one here this morning, but by the grace of God, the fire's not going out in Calvary Cathedral International. The fire's not going out in Pastor Bob Nichols. The fire's not going out. Amen. So it came to pass that while he executed the priest office, doing what he could do, doing what God gave him to do, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense. And when he went into the temple, and the whole multitude, this thing's just so full of truth, it's hard to read it straight. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. Here's the picture of how to get our world straightened out. But let's come back to home base. Get our nation straightened out. Get our city straightened out. Get our government. Get our educational system. Here, the basis is right here. The whole multitude of the people were praying. You can curse the darkness or start lighting candles. We're lighting candles. As best we can, we're going to light some blowtorches in the year to come. Well, what happens when people are praying? There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. Well, I guess so. You know, it's just not a normal everyday occurrence. Turn around and see a 12-foot angel. You think you'd know what you'd do? You'd probably do what some of them did, a humma, 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 and go out without a catcher, you know. Well, they were troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not. Oh, God have mercy, that's needed today. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Just keep getting these zingers from heaven here, filled with the Holy Ghost, from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers of the children. Here's a youth ministry insight here. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife, well, stricken in years. Well, you know, the angel said, just remind you and re-remind you that you've heard from God, you'll not be speaking until the child is born. He never forgot that. And I think from that time on in his life, whenever he had a moment of unbelief, he had, I believe, remembered that time of silence in his life. A certain priest, Zacharias, walked with God, lived for God. He and his wife both lived blameless, but they had no child. Elizabeth was barren, both now past the time of life. But you know, he didn't get mad at God, because to not have a son at that time was not good. But he didn't get mad at God. He didn't quit the ministry. He didn't quit on his faith. He just kept doing what God told him last. It's one of the most needed things in the kingdom of God to do. Everybody wants to do what somebody else is doing. Amen. There's plenty to do. But while he was faithfully doing what God had called him to do, Gabriel, God's messenger, angel, appeared and spoke unto him. Now, there's a lot of things here to get my attention. People praying, a man and a God and his wife who won't quit. I've been seeing those people around church for a long time. They just keep on keeping on. You know, there's something to say for folks to just keep on keeping on. Everyone doesn't have the same gifting. Everyone can't sing. Everyone can't, or doesn't seem to have a teaching gift. But you know, there's a virtue in showing up. That's what Joseph did. Joseph was there. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, was there. He was there for God. He was there for Joseph. He was there for Mary. And guess what? He was there for us. This quiet giant of a man, he was there. He's a vital part of the Christmas story. Thank God for Mary, but thank God for Joseph. Very few men would have responded as he responded to that situation. But how in the world can we turn things around? And I'm not going into detail right now. I don't feel led to. But you know, if there was ever an hour we need to hold steady, it's today. I've heard two radical, yeah, they are radical statements this last week, and I'm not going to comment on them because both come from very good, God-fearing, God-honoring individuals. But you know, it's easy when you have the ear of thousands or millions of people just to pop off and say something. Folks, we don't need to do anything foolish right now. We better hold steady and pray about our nation. Amen. Don't quit on your first day and don't quit on your worst day. We must pray over the coming elections. No matter what your political preference is, you better pray over these next elections. We can't stand another 4 years. Our nation can't. Amen. And I've heard some irresponsible statements, and you know, I'm going to hold steady in faith. I still believe that God's able to do the impossible. I still believe that God's able to do the impossible. Now, let me show you something about Zacharias and Elizabeth, especially Zacharias. Maybe I have seen this before, but it has not been on the front burner of my consciousness. Abraham and Sarah. How many have ever read about Abraham and Sarah? If you have a Bible and if you've ever heard preaching or teaching, you've heard something about the father of our faith, Abraham. Out there, and God comes to him. He's a heathen. He's a heathen. God comes to him and reveals himself to him and says, Abram, if you believe in me, I'll make you great. think of your great nation. The whole world's going to talk about you, Abraham, and the three major religions of the world today all claim Abraham. So that certainly was true. Abraham heard from God and believed God and then began to receive progressive revelation as he served God. How many know we don't all get it at the same time in the same way? Then shall you know as you follow on to know. But Abraham and Sarah were promised a son. Promised a son. You know the story. You could tell me the story as well as I could tell it at this point. And every year that goes by, it's more impossible that this son is going to come. That's where faith comes in. Faith is not always an easy go. Faith swims upstream. Faith doesn't roll over and play dead. Faith is tough stuff. It's a jaw set against the elements of life. Every year that goes by, God said that a son is coming, but physically, it's not impossible, honey. It is totally impossible. Totally impossible. I could embellish this subject, but I think that's as far as I need to go right now. It is impossible, do you understand? It just ain't gonna happen. Except somebody's believing God. Then mama got a bright idea, but that didn't work out real well either. She must have had a bad hair day. I don't know, but we're still paying at the gas pump for that one. But here's the thing. The son did come. The son did come. The promises of God will come to pass. If we believe, if it's in line with God's word, not your foolish idea or my foolish idea, but I mean, what God has said will come to pass. There will be a performance of the things that God has promised. It will be. It's got to be. Because we serve a miracle-working God. I'm telling you, in the last few days, a miracle is beginning to unfold around here. The best is yet to come. Satan's fired every shot he knows how to fire, but he's running out of bullets, baby. God's on the throne. God's word prevails above all circumstances. And the child came. The child of promise did come. There was the child of premature judgment, but the son did come. All right. I said that to say this. Now follow me real closely. Look at Elizabeth and look at Zacharias. These people are fascinating. The more you look at them, the more I look at them, the more I... Zacharias. Abraham received he received something that was promised to him. God Almighty came down and promised Abraham more than once. God revealed himself. A son's coming. And all he had to do, though it was a challenge, was believe God. And you know, nothing's going to happen in any of our lives unless we believe God. We're not people of luck. We're people of faith. But look with me for a moment at Zacharias. It's another Abraham and Sarah story. An old couple that's far beyond the time of having children. And what did the angel say? Zacharias just kept going to church. He just kept lighting the fire. He kept the fire burning. Just kept showing up at the temple. In fact, while he's in the temple, probably he had done some organizing. The people were without praying. There was a volume of prayer going on outside church that day. He had gone in to the place where the priest would go. A lot of people were praying. You know, I have a dream. There's going to be more people praying in this year than before. We're going to be teaching on prayer in the Bible college. Some way, somehow, we're going to spend a little more time in prayer than we have before. But what did the angel say? Thy prayer is heard. Wait a minute. I don't see any promise about him having a son. You talk about raw faith. Abraham had a covenant promise. Zacharias, even though it was in the will of God, we know John the Baptist was, all of that was in the will of God, even to his very name that he was to call that baby. His name shall be called John. But it was Zacharias' faith. He had a faith project with God. Oh, you're not hearing me. Both were miracles. Abraham's child was a miracle. Abraham's son was a miracle. But no greater miracle was that son than Zacharias' son. He and God had been talking about this, and he had been believing God. And the truth that I want to bring to you, you know, if there was ever a man that just launched out in raw faith, yes, it was in line with Scripture, and yes, it was in line with the fact that a forerunner of Jesus would come, and it was John the Baptist, of course. But somebody had to get a hold of that. Somebody had to get a hold of that. And I'm believing in the year to come, there's going to be some somebodies around here get a hold of some strong breakthrough projects and promises. Don't hand me a wheelbarrow to have to work that. Keep your faith on the line. Wheelbarrow is all right for a short haul from point A to point B. I don't like wheelbarrows. They won't do anything unless I push them. You got to fill them up, push them, pull them, then empty them, then fill them back up again. But I believe that there's been enough faith preached in this house. I believe there's been enough grace preached in this house. I believe there's been enough word preached in this house. If you've been around this place for a period of time, you've heard a variety of the word of God. Amen. Don't know if I'm saying this right. I'm trying to. Abraham, I still rejoice. I rejoice in our father of faith. But you know, you look at this quiet guy. He's too quiet to get a miracle. He's too consistent to get a miracle. He hasn't even passed his wife off as his sister. This man hasn't measured up to faith yet. Four of you got that. Amen. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying? This is probably one of the most unlikely candidates in the Bible to get a miracle. But let me ask another question. Why not us? Why not you? Why not me? We may not be as famous or as well known or whatever as some folks are. But you know what? Your miracle is not contingent on that. The just shall live by faith. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Don't go into this new year with the switch of faith off. No. Abraham had a promise, And he believed that promise and looked like he took a few detours, but he always stayed back on track, came back on track. But here's this man, Zacharias. This guy doesn't have much charisma. He's kind of a, you know, he's just a, kind of a workaholic for God. He just keeps coming to church. He's always there. Kind of boring sometimes, you know. But you know what? You don't see down inside of him. There's a fire that's burning. There's a faith that is active. Something every day of his life, when he wakes up in the morning, he says, I believe God. I'm doing business with God. God is my partner. We have a faith project. I'm going to have a son. Thank you, Lord, for my son. And the first words out of Gabriel's mouth when he appeared, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just getting all happy on this platform. Praise God. Come on, share the joy. Share the joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's a man that believed God and God honored his faith. God worked a miracle in his behalf. Lord, I look back so many times we would have gone under worse than the Titanic if it hadn't been for God. But God. I know there are churches, but I don't know of any church that has much more of a faith history than this church does. God's brought us through time and time and time and time again. Amen. And I tell you, the best is yet to come. I said the best is yet to come. I said the best is yet to come. Oh, listen to Gabriel's message. How long has he been believing God? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But the message is simply this. Abraham, your prayer is heard. You don't have to fear. Your prayer is heard. You'll have a son. His name is John. Don't call him anything else. You remember, because he couldn't speak until the child was born, everyone said, well, the name John doesn't make sense. No, faith doesn't make sense to a lot of people too. Faith is very strange to a lot of people. We live by fact, not by faith. But in the name of Jesus, he wrote on a tablet, his name is John. And brother, when you agree with God, it wouldn't have worked if his name was any other J than John. He'd call his name John. Embrace your Bible. Hold to its truth. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Regardless of your feelings and your emotions and your circumstance and your situations, just say what Paul said in Acts 27. I've heard from God. I believe the word I've heard. It shall be even as God has said. Hallelujah. You know, God's always had a people. God's always had a promise. And God's always had a plan. I remember when I was back in grade school that they were talking to us about, we were running out of trees. I was just in the second grade, scared the fire out of me. I thought the whole world's out of trees. So we were even erasing our pencil marks on pages, you know, because we were running out of trees. And I laugh sometimes as I'm flying somewhere or going over a heavily, I thought, you know, running out of trees. Come on, give me a break. Scare a little kid to death. No more trees. Let me tell you something. God has enough of what we need as long as we need it and as long as we'll follow him. God has enough to get the job done. Hallelujah. God has enough of what we need. Amen. We just turn to God and hold to God's unchanging hand. Remember, just faithfully doing what God had given him to do, dedicated to God's house. And you know, boy, that must have been slow back then. It must have been boring. I mean, I just can't. Maybe I'm falling short on this side of it, but I just don't see churches being exciting back then. We've had more excitement here this morning probably than they had in a year or two or three. But he just kept showing up because his faith was not in what others were doing or others were saying. His faith was in God. And I just encourage us, this is a faith church and this is a grace church. I hear people say, well, faith's old hat. Oh, come on. Come on. See, there go extremes again. Faith. Hallelujah. Grace provides, but faith obtains. We need both. A bird needs two wings to fly. Have you ever seen a one-winged bird fly? Not unless you were half-looped. All right. Takes two wings for a bird to fly. Faith and grace. And I just say in the name of Jesus, I am more thankful for grace every day of my life. I think back, you know, we've all done some stupid things. I mean, if we were to flash your life on this screen, they'd make how many new doors in this wall? People trying to get out of here. We've all said something stupid, done something stupid. Didn't mean to. Didn't know it was as stupid as it was till later on you reflect back and say, I can't believe I said that. I thought of something the other day. I said 20 years ago, I thought, I can't believe I said that. But I did. But I'm smarter today. I don't say that anymore. I may be slow, but I catch on. When I catch on, I catch on. Hallelujah. Abraham had a promise, a covenant promise. Zacharias, raw faith in God. One day he said, God, I have a project. I want a son. And I'm believing you from this moment forward, I'm going to have a son. And his wife kept getting older, and he kept getting older, and he kept getting more impossible by the day. But nothing is impossible with God. I said, nothing is impossible with God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Nothing is impossible with God. So he said, your prayer is heard. A miracle revival is coming with youth. The fathers and the children's hearts are going to be turned together. This generation, kids can be raised in the bedroom. They don't need their parents anymore. Just give them enough social media. Slide their food under the door. There needs to be a coming together of families. Families need to talk. Families need to communicate. Families need to take time to communicate with one another. Amen. Then here comes John, filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And the purpose of John's coming, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's part of our assignment here at Calvary, to win people and to make them prepared for the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. A restoration. And finally, out of this story comes a restoration of joy and gladness. Hallelujah. Well, we've crossed several thoughts and ideas today, but as much as I love and appreciate Abraham, did Zacharias give you a little hope this morning? Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on your faith projects. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your grandchildren. Don't give up on your great-grandchildren. Believe for God's best in their life. We're raising too many in this generation who know not the Lord. A generation arose that did not know God. I realize more every day how blessed I am the way I was raised. Oh, thank God I was taught the basics from a father and a mother and environment. Thank God for that. And I've done my best to try to pass it on to others. If God be for us, who can be against us? One final thought. I read in the paper this past week, it's a little scary. I won't say it probably scientifically like it should be said, but there it is on the front page of the Star-Telegram, that this whole nation could be shut down because everything's on computers. Cars stopped. You can't get them started, or if you're off somewhere, you can't get them home for a given period of time. We are so sophisticated in high tech that you don't realize it. We're all at the mercy of God. This whole nation for a given period of time, I don't know, maybe it's an hour, maybe a day, they predict that it could happen for 3 days. The hackers have gotten into the internals of our nation. Our nation, don't look at me like I'm Star Wars. I'm telling you, even the liberal media has had to acknowledge this. The whole nation could be shut down because the hackers have all that inside ability. I read it, boy, for a moment I started getting bummed out. I thought, who let us get in this situation? Who in the world? Who voted or didn't vote? Or how in the world did a nation this great that still has "In God We Trust" on our coins come to a place to where some heathen nation could shut us down for a while? But then the Spirit of God rose up within me. And God said, if a heathen nation can shut this nation down by whatever means or however it may happen, God brought me right back to the power of the Holy Spirit of God. If the heathen can shut us down, the Holy Ghost can raise us up. Stand to your feet and shout a little bit. Come on now. You're not shouting very good. Come on now. We're not at the mercy of the evil one. You better depend on the Holy Spirit. You better have faith in God. You better. It's time to put the pedal to the metal. Folks, it's not time for lip service. It's time for heart service. There's enough faith in this room today if it was released and activated to just rip Satan's kingdom in a million pieces. There's more than just coming and feeling good and going home. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. We've got the power. I said we've got the power. Or do you? I do. Do you? We've got the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe if the heathen could shut us down, the Holy Ghost can shake this nation from center. Boy, I'm out there this morning. Come on now. Stay there with me. I need your faith. Hallelujah. We're not going to let Satan shut us down. We're not going to let Satan shut us up. We're going to do the will of God. We're going to see a harvest of souls.
Yes.
We're going to see breakthrough and breakout.
Hallelujah.
We're going to see God moving all over the world. And the greatest days of Calvary Cathedral International are yet to be. Praise be unto God. Zacharias and Elizabeth, what wonderful examples. You don't have to have great charisma or be famous or be highly talented. Just keep showing up. Just keep believing God. Keep reading your Bible. Keep spending some time with God every day. Because when prayer goes up, God comes down. And if the heathen can shut us down, look at the day of Pentecost. We've seen a day of Pentecost. 5th and Penn Street downtown. There's no way you can explain what God did during that time. Where all the people came from, advertising can't do that. It was God Almighty that gave us a burst of Pentecost. And I have a dream. More's coming. I have a dream. More's coming. It's time for another Pentecost. It's time for another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We've had an outpouring of ungodliness and filthiness and pollution and perversion. It's time for righteousness. You say, well, I thought the world was going to go boom. Well, it will go boom. And one day it will go boom. But I'm still here and you're still here. My family's still here. And I'm believing to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. As long as we're here, we have a right to believe God. Amen. So in your marriage, in your business, in your personal relationships, believe God. Just believe God. Turn your faith. Amen. How many think you saw what I'm talking about this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, I just want to thank you right now in the name of Jesus for your presence that is in this room today, Lord. God, I thank you. If you need healing for your body, just come to this front area. If you need healing for your body.